Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Many times our Sunday morning messages are doctrinal in nature, particularly when we are in a series. I really don't want to get committed to another series until the Lord finds a pastor for the church in Auburn. I'm praying that he will soon. Another man is there to preach next Sunday. Pray about that. We'd like to see that church find a pastor and move ahead with the leadership that God has prepared for them. However, this morning we are going to preach to Christians. We're going to stand you up against the wall and skin your hide. Sure hope you like it when I'm done. All right, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23 in a singular verse, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. The Lord talks often of the heart and the affections of the heart, and of course when He uses the word heart, that's what He very often refers to, our affections, our love, our concerns, our ambitions, our goals. All of those things are somehow associated with heart action. As I pondered upon this thought and this concept, this verse, lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, for where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. I thought about other things that may ought to be where our treasure is. And not only does that affect our heart, but it undoubtedly would affect other things. For example, where your treasure is, there will your body be also. Amen? Amen? You know, I mean, that's obvious when you stop and think about it. The saints, many of the saints, they'll say, well, preacher, I won't be there in body, but I'll be there in spirit. Well, bless your heart, where your treasure is, there will your body be. I'll be in body on the lake, but in spirit I'll be with you in the church. Well, then your treasure's in the lake. Your treasure isn't here, see. Look with me in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. As you might expect, God addresses the issue of the body, for in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God has very efficiently declared to us that it's a reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That is, where your treasure is, there will your body be, as well as your heart. And I don't believe we do any injustice to Scripture to declare that to you today. Did you ever stop and think about what a small percentage of time, really, relatively, you give to God with your body? Most folks, you give Eastman Kodak 40, 45, 50 hours a week, whatever it is, or whatever your employer happens to be. And then, of course, you give your body a great deal of time. The body gives the body a great deal of time. We spend a great deal of time eating, don't we? Well, I've never lived in a city in my life that loves to eat more than Rochester. Did you ever try to go to a restaurant on Friday night in this town? It can be a hair-pulling experience. My wife and I went out one Friday night here not long ago, and we just decided the two of us were going to go out and eat a little dinner and relax a little bit. And so we went. We thought, well, where should we go? And we talked about it. And since we like Mexican food, well, we said, well, there's a new Mexican restaurant we heard about out on Jefferson Road called Chi-Chi's. So we said, well, we'll try that. So we drove out to Jefferson Road and parked in the full parking lot and went in. And I just got in the door and I heard the fella, the host or whatever you call him, there telling the fella that was in front of me, well, it'll be about a 35-minute wait. Man, do I hate to wait. That's not my thing, waiting, lines, you know. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll probably have to learn at the judgment seat of Christ. I just turned around, I did 180, and I said to Sharon, I said, let's go. Out the door we went. You know, I said, there got to be another place. So we went down to another place, just down the road. It's some steak joint, Royal Fork or something, I don't know, you know. We went crashing down there, and check that deal out. All I did was circle the parking lot. I could tell it was the same, I mean, you know. They were double parked in the place. I said, this is ridiculous. So we tried a couple more places, all the same. I'm driving back north on 390 thinking about Burger King, you know. I said, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden I hit Scottsville Road and I sparked an idea. I said, well, that'll work. I said, I've always heard about the Scottsville Inn or whatever you call that place out there in Scottsville. The fish joint, you know, what do they call that? Yeah, it's the Anawatka. Yeah, the Awatka, that's the place, you know, nice place. So I drove all the way out to Scottsville, parked the car, walked in the restaurant, saw people standing everywhere. I said, oh, no. Oh, it's terrible, you know. By then I was exasperated. I was tired of looking all over Monroe County for a place to eat. And I went in and I said to the fellow, I said, how long's the wait? You know, that's the first. Well, he said, 25, 30 minutes. I said, I don't like it, but I'll do it, you know. Here's my name. Call me when you're ready. And so we waited. And sure enough, about 30 minutes, they called us. We ate, had a nice dinner, all the rest of it. But, I mean, I've been over to the Charbroil across from Shaler's out in the lake. Now, that's just a dive. You know what I mean? That's a joint. That's a greasy spoon. And I've had to wait there on Friday night. Boy, do we spend a lot of time taking care of the old body, don't we? I mean, we plan and we prepare and we'll make reservations and we'll wait in line. And as I looked around out there at the Watkin, all those people standing around waiting, nobody seemed to mind. I just the idea, I'm going to feed my face pretty soon. That's great, boy. Here I am, all smiles. And then, of course, we sleep. Oh, do we sleep? We like to sleep. The old body tells us no when the alarm clock goes off. The body wants to resist. It says, oh, particularly in the wintertime, it's not so hard to get up in the summer when the birds are singing and the sun is up bright and, you know, and the grass smells good. But did you know what it's like to try to get up about the middle of January when it's just as black as can be outside and you couldn't hear a bird within 100 miles of this place. And that warm bed, that electric blanket is cranked up to 4 and it feels so good. And oh, do we want to take care of the body? And then we put our body down at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Dozens upon dozens of you fellas are going to plop your body right down in front of the boob tube. And when kickoff times comes and the Bills are charging the ball, you're going to be, that's it, man. There's the body. We're going to take care of it. And you're going to say to the wife, get me a Coke. And where's the popcorn? How about dessert? You know, where the body is, where your treasure is, there will your body be also. Now, Jesus didn't say that just per se, but it's safe to say that he certainly inferred it as you begin to compare Scripture with Scripture. Where your treasure is. You know, I find, and it's just, it's interesting, but I think it would be a good, safe, general rule. By and large, there might be a few exceptions. But the people that make the greatest investment in this ministry are the people whose bodies you can find hanging around here every time the doors open. That's just the way it works, you know. Why don't you consider today giving your body to Jesus? Don't you think the world's had it long enough? Don't you think the attitudes and the philosophies of the world has had it long enough? Don't you think the devil's had it long enough? Why don't today you just consider giving your body to Jesus? You know, and the Lord doesn't need a lot. You know, there's all kinds of jobs and positions that can be fulfilled with something that's not just a whole lot better than 98.6. I mean, you know, the Lord just needs some bodies here and there. The Lord needs some bodies here tomorrow night. The Lord needs some bodies out there in the bus room. Brother Ed Cain said last night, he said, we need a new bus captain. You know what he needs? He needs a body, just a body to go out and have enough sense to say a few kind words to some folks out in some bus routes and invite some folks to come to church. You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You don't have to be an institute graduate to do that. You don't even have to be a student to do that, bless your heart. You just need a body, a willing body. That's all. Just a willing body. But you see, a lot of you folks aren't willing, and your body won't comply to the admonition and the leadership and the conviction of the Holy Spirit because there isn't any treasure here. And maybe there isn't any treasure in heaven either. Where your treasure is, that is where your body will be. Oh, now we can find treasures in a vast array and variety of things, even in nature. My body spends some time out on Lake Ontario. I'll admit that. You know what? I find some treasure down there, boy. Silver treasure. Silver. Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. And it comes in all kinds of forms. 5 pound, 10 pound, 20 pound, 30 pound, you know. Silver treasure out of the depths. Oh, I enjoy that fishing, you know. I find treasure out in the Rocky Mountains and the golden aspen leaves and the babbling clear brooks and streams. And you find treasure in various things that you're attracted to. But above and beyond everything, we ought to place some treasure in God's work and in heaven. And if we'll do it, you know what? Your body will be there too. The prodigal son's heart was in the far country before his body was. His body followed his heart. Now you get your heart in a place, and you know what? Your body will follow. But the Bible indicates to us that the thing that even precedes the heart is the treasure. You get the treasure there, the heart will follow, and the body will follow behind. And not only that, but where our treasure is, that is where our mind will be also. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Lord spends a great deal of time emphasizing our mind. You know, psychologists tell us that 10,000 thoughts go through the human mind in one day. 10,000 thoughts on the average go through your mind in one day. That's over 3.5 million a year. That's a lot of thoughts. My oldest son came home from school this week, and He's taking computer science, and oh, he's charged up about it, all excited about it, you know. And he wants to tell me now, he's been in school 2 days, he wants to tell me all about computers. And he said, Dad, he said, did you know? He said, did you know that... And he started to tell me about all of the great capacities of all these computers. But he said, do you know that there isn't a computer in the world that can even begin to match the computer capabilities of the human mind? I said, well, that's simple. I can understand that. He said, why is that? I said, because God made this one. That's why. Amen. People will really get motivated to think and put their mind where their treasure is. How can you put the cash value on the brain? Someone did it for Thomas Edison. And they came up with the highest value ever. At the time of his death, which was, of course, a long time ago, it was estimated, before the days of great inflation, it was estimated by the New York Times analysis that the business interests based on or largely due to Edison's inventions amounted to no less than $25 billion. Because of one man's mind. A lot of people got interested in putting their treasure there where his mind was. I wonder what would happen if people would get as excited and as interested and as involved in putting their minds to work for God's work as they do to make a scroungy buck now and then. You know, there are some proverbial geniuses that are saved and born again. There's some real geniuses right here in this church. I mean, there's some talent here. And there's some talent here that isn't always reflected through the educational process. There's some folks here that have never been to college, some folks here that have never even been through high school, but there's some folks here that are some real brains. I mean, there's some folks here that have some mechanical ingenious about it, and in other areas, you know. I wonder what would happen if God's people, and for a period of even 1 year, 12 months of their life, and just dedicate and present their mind to God in such a way that many people do just to make a dollar. It's amazing how ingenious people can get for a buck. Early in the 18th century, Leningrad, Russia, was laid out as a city. There were a number of large boulders, however, strewn all over the area where they wanted to put the city. And they had to be removed. One particularly large piece of granite was lying in the way of what was to be the principal avenue or street. Well, what they did was they took bids from all kinds of contractors and they advertised and so on, and all the proposals were submitted by the contractors. And because of the fact that they had no real, in those days, mechanical means to dispose of this enormous boulder, they had no hard steel for drilling or cracking the stone. They had no explosives at that time except for inferior black powder, which really wouldn't do much on a rock like that. All of the bids were extremely high because even at the time of the bid, the contractors really didn't know for sure how in the world they were going to remove this thing. And about that time, a local Russian peasant showed up, and kind of an insignificant-looking fellow, and he said, well, look, I'd like to make a bid if it'd be all right. And they said, well, sure, why not? Everybody can make a bid here. And so he made a bid that was just really a fraction of all of the other bids. And the government thought about it and said, well, we don't have anything to lose. Let's let him have a crack at it. And so he got the bid. And so what he did was he went out in the country and brought a whole, you know, cartload, busload, truckload of peasants in, and boy, they got to work, and they got their axe and their picks and their shovels, and they went to work. And you know what they did? They dug a great big hole, an enormous hole, right next to this boulder. And they propped it up with all kinds of logs and timbers and so on. And they dug this hole, this enormous hole, right next to this boulder. And when they got done digging the hole, they just kicked the props out, and the big old rock rolled in the hole, and they threw the dirt in, covered it up. Ingenious, amen? Not too bad. You know, it's amazing how folks can think for a buck. Sometimes folks, when they get down to the bottom of the barrel, I mean, you know, depression and economic recession brings the ingenious of man out. Isn't it too bad that in a time of prosperity, and since there's such a higher motivation from the calling of God, a man won't put his brain to work for God? How often we hear in God's work and in God's circles among God's people complaints about how things are done. As a pastor, Well, preacher, I really think we ought to do something about that. Don't you think we ought to do something about that? Very seldom do people come having analyzed the problem, thought it out, and come with a proposed solution. That's what I tell our church staff all the time. I say, I don't want to hear your complaints. I didn't hire you to cause problems. I hired you to solve problems. When you come with a complaint, come with a proposed solution. Or don't bug me. You know, I don't want to hear it. Amen? I mean, we ought to put our brain to work. We ought to put it in gear. For where our treasure is, there will our mind be also. There was a fellow by the name of Graysner, a long time ago. And he sat in the lobby of a hotel in Omaha one day, and he was absolutely stone broke. No one was ever in lowlier circumstances, I suppose, than Mr. Graysner. He'd been told that he could not re-enter his hotel room, even to pick up his bag and to get his much-needed overcoat, for it was in the middle of wintertime, until he had paid his rent. And all he had in his pocket was one nickel. That's all he had, one nickel. And he sat down and put his hands in his face and started to think about the thing and his whole life and so on as he sat in that hotel lobby in Omaha, Nebraska. And he went over and looked out the window just to see how cold and cruel the outside world really was. It was snowing, and it was bitter, and it was nasty, and it was cold, and it was a miserable Midwestern winter day. But he couldn't see out, for the window had steamed all over because of the cold outside and the warm inside, and it was all steamed and frosted up, and he couldn't see out. The condensed moisture had created that situation. Well, as he got to thinking about that, all of a sudden he thought and thought back to his early days, and he thought about an old German chemist who had once told him that glycerin soap rubbed on glass and wiped off with a clean cloth would prevent steaming. So he went down to the local drugstore, and he spent his last nickel on a bar of glycerin soap. That's what it cost, a nickel. Remember those days? Some of you do. Some of you do. You know what? I can remember, I hate to admit, I can remember a nickel Coke. That dates you too, don't it? Amen? All right. So he went down and he bought this cake of glycerin soap. And in the cold, he sat out on a park bench and he took his penknife and he cut the soap into 20 pieces. Then he got an idea. He said, I'm going to call it Miracle Rub. And he went down to some of the city gas stations around and he demonstrated his Miracle Rub on the windshields. And his price was 15 cents a piece, or a cube, or $1.50 a dozen. So he sold them all. He went back to the drugstore. He bought some more, cut them up, went out again, sold again. At the end of the day, he made 27 bucks. From Omaha, he worked east, meanwhile improving his product and wrapping it in tin foil, packed a dozen cubes to a box. He arrived in Detroit 3 months later with an automobile and $1,000 cash. Today, the Presto Company is a prosperous firm manufacturing cleaning and polishing products as a result of this man's ingenious to package and sell glycerin soap for windshields. When a man gets hungry, he'll stop and think. He'll say, man, what can I do? There must be something that I can do. And he'll put that reserve genius to work. You know why? Because his treasure is here. Amen. Why won't more men put their genius to work in serving God? You know what? There isn't any treasure there. That's why. There's just no real treasure. Oh, it's amazing how inventive men become. If you're a sportsman and you read some of these outdoor magazines, Outdoor Life and Field and Stream and Sports of Field and Great Lakes Fishermen and Fishing Facts and all, boy, isn't it amazing how ingenious men get? I mean, it's just something. It's wild, you know. Now, to fish out here in Lake Ontario for these trout and salmon, you got to find the right temperature zone. This past week, it was an incredible 150 foot down for lake trout water. And they got all kinds of mechanical gizwizzes and gadgets and things now that you can have a constant temperature readout of how cold or warm the water is down there. You know, ingenious. But one of our men was telling me the other day they got a new one now. They got a new one. I don't know if it's even hit the market yet. They got a little deal you can clip on your downrigger cable and you can send it down there, and it's radio controlled. And it'll transmit a radio signal up to your boat and tell you how cold it is 150 foot under the water. Ingenious. You know why a fella thought of that? Because he can make a buck with it. That's why. He can make a dollar. Nothing wrong with that. But why don't people put that kind of genius to work for God? There's a fella right here in our city. This designed a little release mechanism that you put on a downrigger cable. It's called a roamer release, and now they're being used all over the Great Lakes area. He's going to get rich on that deal. He's going to make a lot of bucks. It was designed and invented and manufactured right here in Rochester. You know what? He saw an opportunity, and he capitalized on that opportunity. He put his genius to work to make some dollars. Why don't people put their brain to work for God? You know why? There's no treasure there. For where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. Big money's come in little ideas. The glass lemon squeezer made $50,000 for the inventor. The roller skate has paid $1 million in royalties. The suspender garter patent was sold for $50,000. Wooden shoe pegs earned $500,000 in royalties. The automatic inkwell has netted $200,000. The ball and socket glove fastener has passed the million mark. The return ball toy, a rubber ball on a rubber string, you know what I mean? Those little deals, you played with them when you were a kid? Yielded $500,000 per year in royalties for years and years and years and years. And you talk about a dumb, simple idea. Some guy was making $500,000 a year because he took a rubber string and a rubber ball and attached it to a little wooden paddle. It just boggles my mind. Why don't God's people put their genius to work for God? Thank God a few of them do. But how much more could we accomplish in the Lord's work? For where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. Men can get awful ingenious when it comes to making a dollar. An old miser, because of his exceptional thrift, had no friends. Just before he died, he called his doctor, his lawyer, and his minister together around his bedside. Here's what he said. He said, "I've always heard that you can't take it with you, but I'm going to prove that you can," he said. He said, "I have $90,000 cash under my mattress. It's in three envelopes of $30,000 in each. When I pass on, I want each of you to take an envelope, and just before they throw the dirt on me, you throw your envelope in." The three attended the funeral, and they threw their envelopes in the grave. On the way back from the cemetery, the minister said, "I just don't feel exactly right. My conscience hurts me. I'm going to confess. I needed $10,000 badly for a new church we are building, so I took out 10 and threw the 20 in the grave." The doctor said, "I too must confess. I am building a new hospital, and I took $20,000 and threw in only $10,000. The lawyer said, gentlemen, I'm surprised, shocked, and ashamed of you. I don't see how you could hold out like that. I threw my personal check in for the entire amount. That'll hit some of you this afternoon, all right? Man can get rather ingenious to make a buck. Amen? He can be rather clever, rather crafty, rather sly to make a buck. You see, where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. I wonder how many of God's people just sit around for an evening now and then with a piece of paper and a pencil and doodle and think about how can we improve God's work? How can we do a better job? How can we get more accomplished? I wonder how many of God's people sit around and actually dwell and meditate and think on how can I improve my Sunday school class? How can I make it more exciting, more dynamic, more interesting, more captivating? I wonder how many people sit around and just think about how can I improve my bus route? How can I do a better job with my Awana group? I wonder how many folks just spend some time, give over some hours of their week to thinking about their personal relationship with God and what they can do for God and how can they improve what they are doing for God. You see, where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. But we must hasten on. For where your treasure is, there will your ambitions be also. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Oh, God says, forget what's behind. Let's reach on. Let's press on. Let's move out. People have ambitions in some unusual areas. At least they seem a bit strange to me. Some folk right here in this auditorium today, one of your great ambitions is to have the best lawn on your block. Boy, I think once in a while, throw a little fertilizer on, maybe weed killer now and then, mow it now and then, make the thing look respectable. But some of God's people say, oh boy, I got to have the best lawn on the block. And they spend countless hours in that lawn. They're ambitious about that lawn. But they don't give a moment's notice in their mental processes throughout the week of being ambitious for God's work and accomplishing something for God. You see, where your treasure is, there will your ambitions be, there will your plans be. The Apostle Paul had plans to go to Rome, for he desired to have fruit among them, the Bible says. Do your plans include God? Napoleon planned to go, but without God, and so he met Waterloo. When you plan to go without God, sooner or later there'll be a Waterloo for you too. Where your treasure is, there will your prayers be. Folks pray sometimes, not very often, I'm afraid, but sometimes for family, for friends, and for their own personal circumstances. But where your treasure is, there will your prayers be. Where your treasure is. God wants us to put some treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. Sometimes God calls a loved one home that we've cherished and held dear to. You know why? Just get a little of our treasure up there. Lay up treasure in heaven. Sometimes God afflicts some of the saints with a measure of infirmities and diseases and difficulties and adversities in life. You know why? Just to get some of your treasure up there. To set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. It's easy to fall in love with this world when everything's going smooth, isn't it? It really is. I mean, You know, the world still can be, in certain circumstances, under certain situations, a proverbial paradise. And that's why oftentimes God introduces adversity to the saint's life, to the Christian's life, so that we might understand and reckon with and deal with the fact that He wants us to lay up treasure in heaven. Folks, God never intended this to be your paradise, for this earth is operating under a curse. In the millennium that we'll study tonight, we'll find out that God's going to remove that curse, and the earth itself is going to go through a process of regeneration. In other words, the earth will be, in a sense, born again. And then it will be a paradise, and then God's going to bring you back, and He's going to let you enjoy it for 1,000 years. But right now, He has told you, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. Lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. If your treasure is in the right place, then your body will be there. Your mind will be there. Your ambitions will be there. Your plans will be there. Your prayers will be there. You know why we have to stand up and ask more than once for a bus captain? Because not enough folk have their mind and their ambitions and their plans in God's work. And they don't have their body there either. You know why oftentimes we have to ask for volunteers for any project more than once? Because the bodies and the ambitions and the minds and the plans aren't there. We've got some bus captains that are good folk, man. Praise God for their faithfulness and all thank God for them. They work and they're ingenious and they labor, but you know what? If I was a bus captain, I'd probably do some way out stuff. I'd put my brain to work on that deal. I would just put my imagination in full swing. I'd want them jam-packed, hanging out the window. I mean, isn't that the way it should be? Some of you fellas have some brain power in areas that I short circuit. When it comes to mechanics, I short circuit. It just goes. And I go there and some of these guys start talking about ratios and pistons and rings and valves and carburetors and catalytic converters. I don't understand it. All I know is get in it, start it, put gas in it, drive it. If it quits, sell it. That's about all I know about it. I don't understand. When I take my car over to Sam Basil to fix it, he rattles on and on and on about all this stuff. You know, I just try to look intelligent. I don't have any idea what he's talking about. Not at all. He's rattling on and on and on about all this stuff. Man, I don't know. Sure, I don't know. Okay, yeah, right. Looks good to me. Yeah. That's right. Well, you've got that kind of talent. It's a talent, man. It's a gift of God. Use it for God. Use it for God. You know, I look at things around here that I see need improvement in our physical facilities. I see things that could be improved, that could be made better. I see doors that don't work right. And I see all kinds of things that don't work right. But I wouldn't have any idea how to fix it. All I know is it don't work right. You know, it ought to be improved. But some of you guys, you can look at it and size it up and analyze it and come up with a whole brand new invention. We got 3 or 4 inventors around here. I mean, put your mind to work for God. Where your treasure is, there will your body and your mind and your ambitions and your plans and your prayers and finally your thanksgiving be. If you're thankful to God for your salvation, if you're thankful to God that He rescued you out of the miry pit of sin and you were on your way straight to hell, Dear friend, do you remember? How can you call to your mind, to the forefront of your frontal globe? Can you get it out there? Can you remember the day that you were going to hell as fast as a ball bearing on a greased plank? You were. And you were going to split hell wide open except for the wonderful grace of Jesus that we sung about a while ago. And in thanksgiving in our heart, in gratefulness in our mind, we ought to be willing to lay some treasure up in heaven. And if the treasure's there, then all the rest of us will be there too. They used to say in the old days out west, there's gold in them there hills. There's a lot of gold out in those hills. The hills of Rochester. The gold of souls. We had a missionary with us this last Wednesday night. He preached to us. He's from Birmingham, Alabama. You could tell that the moment he opened his mouth. He said, "I sure am glad to be with you folks tonight." You know, you can tell where he's from. But down in Birmingham, they got a fundamental church in about every other street corner. And he came up and he just kind of walked around like he was in Disneyland, just looking every direction. He said, "I've just never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it." "What do you mean, Brother Larry? What do you mean?" "I've never seen so many lost people. I've never seen so many lost people. There are lost people everywhere." He said, "I've never seen anything like it. I go over and hand out tracts and people take them. I've just never seen anything like it. It's something. It's really something up here. Why, you folks are on a mission field." I said, "Yes, we are. The mission field of Greece." You know, it's like the one you're going to, Greece. We're here in Greece and it's a mission field. There's gold in them there hills, folks. But you see, you're not concerned about it unless you got some treasure there. You know what made gold valuable? Because it was perceived to be valuable in the minds of men. If nobody wanted gold, it wouldn't be worth a nickel an ounce. Isn't that right? Nobody would bother looking for it if nobody wanted it. What you perceive to be valuable makes it a treasure. There are lost folks strung all over this community. And God has perceived them to be more precious than gold and silver and precious stones. God has declared it to be so. Now you got some treasure out there? Do you perceive it to be treasure? Do you see it as treasure? You know what you ought to do? You ought to get your gold shovel and your pick and your pan, and you ought to hit the creeks and start panning for some gold. By the way, this is your pan and your shovel and your pick. Amen? Because there's treasure there. That you might win a crown of rejoicing, a soul winner's crown. Some of you folks are saved, and some of you have been saved for years. And you say you love the Lord, but you must not have much treasure in the right place because your body and your mind and your ambitions and your goals and your plans and your prayers and your thanksgiving don't bear evidence to that. Consider today giving it all to the Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Isn't it amazing how ingenious man can get for a dollar? Just incredible. Absolutely astounding, as a matter of fact. You suppose the jet airplane would be here today if someone wasn't interested in making a buck? Maybe the reason why God's church in this generation is so far behind the times in some ways is it just nobody perceives any treasure to be there. But there's great treasure in them there hills. Our heads are bowed. How many folks are here today and say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I can look back to the day when God deemed my soul more valuable than gold and silver and precious stone. And He redeemed me with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know the Lord. I'm prepared to meet Him today if He should call me into eternity. If you know that, lift your hand, please, just as a testimony to what God's done for you. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you. How many folks are here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm prepared to meet God. I'm not prepared to go into eternity. I don't know my sins are forgiven. I just, there's confusion in my mind about the whole thing, perhaps. There's uncertainty abiding in my heart. I don't know, but I'd like to know. If you'd like to know, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Lift your hand, please, across the auditorium. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Yes. Amen. Are there others while we tarry a moment? Yes. Amen. Are there any others? Just raise your hand and say, yes, I'm burdened for my soul. Pray for me. Pray for me. My Christian friend, very simply, where's your body? Is it where it should be? Where's your mind? Where man's treasure is, there will his heart, body, mind, ambitions, plans, prayers, and thanksgiving be. You can just count on it. Where are your ambitions, plans, prayers, thanksgiving? Where's your body and mind? Is it where God wants it? Perhaps you've just made the mistake of not perceiving the gold that's really there. I wonder how many of God's people would say, Pastor, today, as surely as I stand where I stand, I know God's dealing with my heart about some things, and I know I have some misplaced affections, some misplaced desires, and oftentimes a misplaced body and mind. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me today. I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to do right. I'm going to ask the Lord to give me the positive direction in my life if He hasn't already, and I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to do what He says. Now that's a handful of commitment, folks. That's a mouthful. But I'm not looking for a lot of hands today. I'd be just tickled to death if six folk could raise their hand and say, today I'm going to do what God tells me to do. He's been dealing with me about something, and I'm going to do what He tells me to do. It'd just tickle me to death if six folk could say that today. That'd be a victory and a blessing. Is there anyone here that would say that? Pastor, God's been dealing with me about some things. I'm going to do what God tells me to do today. There's one and two and three and four and five and many, many. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. I'm going to do what God tells me to do today. Thank you. Amen. 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 I want me to do it. Would you be receptive to what God tells you? Heavenly Father, this is Your invitation. We've brought a very, very simplistic message today, just to try to convey a simple and yet very profound truth as it's found in Your Word. Lord, You said where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. And I know that's true. I know it. But then, Lord, it just stands to reason. It's logical. It follows. As the rainbow follows the rain, it just follows, Lord, that some other things are going to follow the heart. The body follows the heart. The mind follows the body. And all of those other things follow behind. Lord, we need to get some treasure in your work. We need to get some treasure in heaven. Lord, speak to us and help us. Help us to be obedient to you today. I pray for unsaved folk that are here, that they might relinquish their pride or their stubbornness or whatever it is that it may be that's keeping them from Christ. Lord, thou knowest, I don't. Lord, perhaps they cling to traditions, education, philosophy. But, oh God, none of these things can save them, and none of these things can prepare them for heaven and eternity. None of these things, but none of them can prepare them to meet God. Oh, God in heaven, deal with those hearts. May they confess Christ and receive him today. May they respond to this invitation and come. And may God's people abide by and follow your direction. For it's in the wonderful name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Dear friend, you're here today. God has dealt with your heart. If you're not saved, slip out of your seat when we begin to sing. Allow one of our folk to meet you with an open Bible and show you from the Holy Word of God how to be saved. If you're saved today and you know the Lord and God is dealing with you about something, I would recommend that you come and kneel right here and get it patched up and right with Him and squared away and straightened out. And then go out of here purposed and determined to do that which He's directed you to do. Where your treasure is. Where's your treasure? Maybe you need to get some treasure in God's business. And then some other things will follow behind. Get some treasure there. As we sing, you come right now. In just a moment, the choir is going to sing another verse. Now, before they sing, dear friend, what would you do to what God's telling you to do? Would you respond? I hope you would. Do it today. Where's your treasure? Where's your real treasure? We have some artificial treasures in life. We need to realize that they are artificial, that they're superficial, they're plastic. Where's your real treasure? Examine yourself. You don't have any treasure in God's business unless your heart and your body and your mind and all the things that go along with it are there too. Now that's just the way it is. Like it, lump it, suck an egg, that's the way it is. Amen? Let's sing another verse. You come. I surrender all. What a song to sing. I guess it's pretty tough to sing it and mean it. What have you surrendered? Well, today, we're not going to prolong the invitation. We're just going to trust that you've taken note of what God's telling you. We had 476 in our adult class. We had 11 visitors in our adult class. We're glad you're here. We had 1,153 in our Sunday morning A Sunday school. Of course, our B Sunday school is yet to come. We had $9,731.27 in tithes and offerings this morning. We had $1,791.94 in missions and designated offerings. So we had $11,523.21 this morning in our morning offering. And amen for that. Well, where's your heart and all the rest of you? Put your body and mind to work for God, will you? If you haven't already. Thank the Lord for the folks that have. Well, I think we ought to pray. And you can go home and eat dinner. Or go to Church's Chicken or Pizza Hut or whatever you're going to do. And you'll even have time to watch the whole football game and be in church tonight. See there? But if you didn't, you still ought to be in church tonight. If you didn't have time. That's right. I'm going home to meatloaf, and baked potatoes, hot melted butter on them, garden fresh sliced tomatoes, a sprinkling of salt. You hungry yet? What else are we having? Isn't that what you said we were having? Is that what we're having? What else are we having? Anything? Homegrown green beans? A little butter and bacon and salt? Dynamite. Great, isn't it? What are you eating, Preston?
My wife spits.
Really rotten, huh? Yeah. Anyway. Some of you didn't hear me. Said my wife's been sick. Say that with a tear coming down out of his eye, you know. Yes, amen. All right. Well, see, all of you were drooling, the saliva was coming, the adrenaline was flowing. Just trying to prove my point where your body is. Amen? All right. Okay, let's pray. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Brother Bob Buckley, pray for us, please.
Hold this.